Love that song. What a wonderful way to celebrate God and to celebrate that together with those in heaven before us, and just a great, glorious time together. This morning, as we do our pastoral prayer time, I normally just pray, but today I get to pray for a couple of special people, and I'm going to ask them to come on up here. If Esther Frederick and John Veit would come on up here. I see Esther here, and John's over here. Okay. You guys are on really opposite sides there. You're going on a trip together. You really should get to know each other. Come on over here. This is John, and this is Esther, and they're a couple of our young adults, and I am so thrilled that God is leading them to go on a short-term mission trip here next week. And I'm going to ask John to kind of maybe share, if you would, or if Esther, it doesn't matter which one, but you can talk about what you guys are going to be doing. Hold it close. Good job. Defer.
We'll be serving with International Messengers in Germany next week. And I learned about this organization because our family knows a family that has served in Poland with them for many years. So awesome. I was researching missions trips last fall and came across this opportunity.
Awesome.
And so we'll be going there for a week, and we're going to be teaching at a evangelical English learning camp for German kids as well as refugee kids there. And yeah, just loving on these kids.
So. Okay. So when do you guys leave?
We leave this Friday, which is the 8th, and we get back, the 9th, and we get back on the 18th.
So fantastic.
A little over a week. We'll be
great. Here. And are you part of a larger team?
Yes, we have about 20, 25 members total that will be going over, partially from the U.S. and Canada, as well as some from the U.K. and other parts of Europe as well.
Awesome. So. And what is there anything specifically we can be praying for you guys for that would be helpful?
I would say right now, just unity amongst the team, since we don't all really know each other, but we're all going with the same heart of serving these kids and loving on them. So unity with us, as well as just pray for the camp, that really these kids will be touched by what we're teaching them through the word and through, God's
awesome. Word. Awesome. Wonderful, you guys. Well, we're excited for you to go. I'll take that back from you here. So we'll be praying for you as you're gone next week, and just asking God to really do those things with you. And so we'll be praying for you the whole time. But let me come over here and just pray for you guys real quick. Esther? Father, I thank you so much for Esther and John. Lord, I thank you for their young adult lives and just the fact that they've said, here we, Lord, send us. And I just love it when folks just kind of see an opportunity come up and they say, let's get behind that. Let's involve ourselves in that. And I thank you that our church is also behind them in that, and not only in prayer, but support. And we just really pray, God, that you would just let your blessings be upon them. We do pray, Father, for the unity of the team as they come together and they serve you. God, I just pray that Esther and John would be in good health the whole time, that the travels would go smoothly. It's a long ways to go, Father, but I thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We think about how the Reformation began there in Germany, Lord, and came to us, and now, in a sense, we're going back to a place where we can bring the gospel again. So I just pray that you would use them in a mighty, wonderful way. We pray, God, that you would just bless them and keep them, and let your word just come forth through them as they help these students learn English, but more importantly, how they shine for Christ. Let the sweet aroma of Jesus shine through them in every way. We pray your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks. God, thanks, you guys. You can go back to your corners now. I love doing that. I love the opportunity we have to send people out, and lots of opportunities are out there. This morning, I invite you to turn with me, if you would, to our last time, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 22. We're going to finish up 2 Timothy here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 22. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew there. You can turn to page 1192. Page 1192. And there you will find 2 Timothy chapter 4, 9 to 22. So the Word of God says, beginning in verse 9, "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he has vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me, the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. As we are getting ready to go on a trip or a vacation, we prepare, we plan, and we try to pack. Now, I have to tell you that I am not good at that. I'm kind of haphazard about packing up for trips, and I have a wonderful wife here who has great lists, and she lists everything, and then all the things I forget, she brings so that we can go on our trip together. But it's necessary, it's appropriate, it's important that if you're going to go on a trip, if you're going to go away, that you get ready to go. Getting ready to go. This morning we come to the end of our study of 2 Timothy. Our theme has been this: finishing strong, faithfulness and encouragement in following Jesus to the end. We have seen how the Apostle Paul is finishing his course, his ministry, his life on earth. We see how strongly he is finishing well for the Lord. But we've also seen him coaching and admonishing and advising and commanding Timothy as his disciple. This is how you finish well. This is how you finish strong for the Lord. And today we see Paul completing that instruction to Timothy. Paul knows he's about to die for his faith. Back up in verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. So that means, so far as we know, these are the last inspired of God written words of Paul. As he waits for execution in that Roman jail, these are his last words. And yet, as I read through that text, you may think, well, that's kind of random and it's kind of disjointed, the things he says here. But I suggest to you today that there's an overarching theme here for Timothy to be taught and to model. It becomes a theme for us as Christ followers today. The theme is this: getting ready to go. Getting ready to go. Getting ready to die. We can organize this text around that theme as we see what's on Paul's mind and his heart as he gets ready to go. And these are great lessons for us, as inevitably and invariably every one of us eventually will go from this world in death. In many ways, Paul is kind of getting his affairs in order, as we say today, which usually means for us financial planning. You get your wills done, you take care of insurance, you prepare for your burial requests, your funeral. But Paul is getting his affairs together in a very different way here. Paul emphasizes here what's more important than those things is what I'm going to tell you here as I do it. I want you to see what I do so you can do the same, getting ready to go. So I want to look at today some instructions on how do we get ready to go. What does it include to get ready to go? Well, first of all, getting ready to go includes dealing with relationships. Dealing with relationships, with relations with people. Now, you notice in the text here, Paul mentions a whole lot of people. In fact, there are 17 names he mentions here. Paul is concerned about his relationships as he leaves, starting with his disciple Timothy. In verse 9, he says to him, Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. In verse 21, he says, make every effort to come before winter. In both of those statements, he senses urgency and speed. Come quickly. The time is short. Paul has been in prison in Roman's prison before for 2 years, and he got out. He knows the system can be a little slow, as our system can be in justice. He doesn't know how long he has, but it's coming immediately soon to him. And the key is he wants the companionship of his dear brother Timothy to come to him. Paul feels alone near the end. He's been left alone. Verse 10 says that Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Now get this, Demas was a co-laborer for Christ with Paul, but he got sucked into the world. And notice Paul says, he's left me. By the way, the word deserted there means to leave behind or forsake. It's a strong verb that means to utterly abandon and leave someone helpless in a dire situation. He has abandoned me. He's left me. Then Paul goes on to talk about others who have left him, but they've gone on to ministry. He mentions people like Crescens, Titus, Tychicus, Erastus, and Trophimus, who are serving in other places. And then he says in verse 11, with Paphos, only Luke is with me. Only Luke has remained steady with me. So Paul feels alone. As he calls for Timothy to come, he also asks him to bring John Mark, Barnabas, his cousin. You might remember him from Acts 15, where there was a falling out between Mark and Barnabas and Paul. And so they split up, but they've been restored now. He says, he's useful to me. Bring Mark with you. So the two of you come to me as quickly as you can. The lesson here is for us to get ready to go is the importance of relationships near the end. Understand, we do not journey alone. I've often encouraged people who know the end is coming. Have your family come. Have your friends nearby. Have your fellow believers with you to pray with you and give you scripture and help you as needed. Now in verse 21, Paul mentions that there are some around him still, but they aren't the inner circle. He mentions Eubulus and Pudin and Linus and Claudia. These are not the inner circle. They're people in the church in Rome who are there for him, but not like he has had before. As Paul gets ready to go, he says relationally, I'm waiting for you to come. I treasure you. I want you to be near me. But Paul also deals with relationships here in several other ways as he gets his affairs in order. In verses 14 and 15, he deals with a relationship that has been disloyal to him and the gospel. In verse 14, he mentions to Timothy about a guy named Alexander the coppersmith. Now, there's a lot of Alexander's mentioned in the New Testament, so we're not sure exactly who this is. But notice Paul says, he did me, personal, much harm. He personally attacked me. Then verse 15, he says, and he opposed our teaching. He was an enemy of Christian teaching, so he's dangerous. Timothy, watch out. Be on guard against what he's teaching and preaching. But notice something. As he deals with that broken relationship in verse 14, he says, look at how he says it. The Lord will repay Alexander according to his deeds. This man has been disloyal to Paul. He's been injurious to Paul. But what Paul does is he gives him over to God for justice. Paul wrote in Romans 12, 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You see what Paul's doing here? He is following his own advice from the Lord. He's doing exactly what God asks of us in dealing with that relationship. What that says to us is this, when we get ready to go, there will be people in your lives who desert you. There will be people in your life who will betray you. There will be those who will be disloyal. They will just hurt us. And we must give up those grudges against those who have been disloyal, unkind, even enemies to us, to give that justice to God, to release the hurt even as we try to forgive. Which leads to the idea of forgiving in those relationships, not only turning them over to God for justice, but forgiving them. In verse 16, Paul says, I had a first defense. I had a preliminary hearing, or an arraignment, if you will. Then he says in verse 16, no one supported me, but all deserted me. The word deserted there is the same word used to describe Demas, to utterly abandon me, just like Jesus was with the disciples when they left him. But notice verse 16, very important. Paul adds, may it not be counted against them. That means literally reckoned against or laid to the charge of. Don't count it against them. Forgive them. This echoes what Jesus said on the cross in Luke 23, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Paul is abandoned by them, but Paul forgives them. And what does that say to us about getting ready to go? Is that we must release people from the hurts they have caused us. Or listen, if we don't, we become prisoners of other people's sins against us. We have to release them, to settle accounts relationally, to not carry it around, to not carry bitterness and anger and malice and grudges, to keep short accounts with others. And that must be a daily practice, because we never know what chance we will have to make amends. We think we will, but we may not. I've mentioned to you before that my mom died in a car accident when I was 9 years old. My mom had come home for lunch from her job at the bank, and my dad was home because he's a teacher and it was summertime. And so the opportunity was for them to get together and talk there at the house. It was summer, and my dad was there to talk to her. My dad and mom had a very serious argument. As far as I know, they left each other angry. No goodbye, no I love you, no apologies. And within minutes of my mom leaving the house, she was killed in the car accident. That lack of making amends, I believe, tore my dad up the rest of his life. Beloved, it's critical on a daily basis we do everything to be at peace with all men, to quickly restore where possible, forgive even if there's not reconciliation. Janelle and I have been married now for July's 42 wonderful years. But I confess to you, there have been times I've left home angry with Janelle. And the Holy Spirit knocks on my head and reminds me of my parents' story. And it's not long before I want to text her or call her and ask for forgiveness. It's usually me that's messed up. Short accounts. Paul got ready to go with forgiveness in his heart, even as he trusted God's justice. But he also got ready with relationships by appreciating those who journeyed with him for Jesus. You'll notice how he greets people here in verse 19. He says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." Onesiphorus is mentioned in chapter 1 as somebody who ministered to Paul. The word "greet" there means to enfold in the arms or to embrace. Basically, we would say today, give them a hug. And I love this reference of Paul to his fellow Christians. He nears the end of his life, and yet he says, "Hey, by the way, give them a hug for me. Let them know I love them." And again, we're reminded as we get ready to go to appreciate and be grateful for the Christians around us, to express gratitude to them, to give them a hug, tell them how they've ministered to you, send them a card, make a call. As we get ready to go on a daily basis, appreciate those who are journeying with you in Jesus. Paul was ready to go because he dealt with his relationships. So should we. The second way we see getting ready to go, it includes determining to live till the end. Determining to live till the end. Notice how Paul makes plans here, even as he knows the end is coming. He tells Timothy, come before winter, before it gets too hard to travel. But then notice verse 13, he says, Timothy, bring the cloak which I left at Troas, which is the heavy outer coat that could be used as a blanket. It's cold in that prison. Then he says in verse 13 also, and bring the books, especially the parchments. The word books there is the word biblia, from which we get the word Bible, plural. It's papyrus sheets that were written on, like scrolls. The word parchment is the Greek word membrana, from which we get the English word membrane. It refers to the animal skins that you write on. So most likely Paul is saying, bring copies of the Old Testament, maybe even copies of his own writings. Or maybe he even says, bring me blank parchments so I can keep writing to the end. I don't know when it's coming, but I'm ready to study. I'm ready to learn more. I want the scriptures to share. I love the fact that Paul is almost dying here, and yet he's saying, I'm still learning in the Lord. I'm still growing in the Lord. William Barclay tells the story of 1,500 years later. There was a man named William Tyndale. He was lying in a prison as Paul was, waiting for death because he had dared to translate the Bible into the people's language, English. He'd been condemned to die for that. And in that cold, damp winter, he writes to a friend this, listen, send me for Jesus' sake a warmer cap, something to patch my leggings, a woolen shirt, and above all, my Hebrew Bible. He was ready to be executed. And when the chill breath of death was on him, he came to the point where he said, bring me the Word of God. I want to keep studying till the end. What a lesson here for us as we get ready to go, that we live life until we're done. Often I have been with people who have terminal illnesses, and I've shared with them this. It is not what you're dying from that is the focus. It is what you're living with. Now, I never mean that to be callous or uncomfortable or to diminish people's pain. And God may heal, God may give more time, but ultimately what I'm saying is keep living life while you're living it. Not an easy journey. I would never minimize the difficulty, but keep living life. Paul took the opportunity to go to the end, continuing to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our calling is not just to wait out the end, not just endure it, but to redeem the time, even the end. We get ready to go as we live till the end. Thirdly, getting ready to go includes depending on the Lord, always depending on the Lord. The key phrase is verse 17. Paul says, as everybody deserted me, notice verse 17, but the Lord stood with me. They left me, but God didn't. I think of what Jesus said in John 16 when he knew the disciples would desert him. He said this in John 16, 32. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet he said, I am not alone because the Father is with me. I love the fact that Paul was ever confident that God stood with him. As we sing, Paul could sing, never once did I ever walk alone. Never once did he leave me on my own. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13, 5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The word forsake there is the same word for desert in verse 10 and verse 16. Jesus is saying, I won't do what those people did to you, Paul. Paul knew the sting of being deserted, forsaken by friends, disloyalty, abandonment. It leaves him hurting, sad, and lonely. But ultimately he knew, God won't leave me. He goes on to say in verse 17, the Lord strengthened me. As he says in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, God has strengthened me to go on to keep preaching the gospel. Notice verse 17, I'm going to keep proclaiming, preaching, literally, the confidence of the gospel. That the Gentiles may hear. Paul's mission, his course in life, was to keep preaching even to the end. And God delivered me the first time, he says, from the lion's mouth. This time it's not going to happen. I will die. But God will be with me. For us today, we get ready to go in light of knowing that God stands with you, friends. He will never leave you. Until he says done, you will have Jesus to see you through. And daily we can depend on the Lord who always, always stands with us. Fourthly, to get ready to go includes directing our thoughts to heaven. Directing our thoughts to heaven. There's an old phrase, really a criticism that says, you are so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You heard that before? You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, the truth is, actually, being heavenly minded allows us to be earthly good. Because by knowing that we're going to end here in this world, we can focus on what's important. The key is that we have certainty of what's going to happen. In verse 8, Paul says, I know I have a future with God in heaven. That's my destiny. In verse 18, he states the same idea. The Lord will, notice, rescue me from every evil deed, and he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And he can't help himself when he says that in verse 18. He says, and to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I loved how you read that in Revelation, Kurt. That's what everybody's going to wait for. Paul says, praise God, I know what's coming. He directed his thoughts as he's ready to die to that place that's far better than this world. C.S. Lewis used to say, if you want to know what heaven's like, imagine the most beautiful place you've ever been to. That place on vacation, whatever it is, that most beautiful place. And imagine it's not even close to what heaven will be like. We can be sure that we have that heaven because of Christ in our lives. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. To have that guarantee that I'm going to go to heaven is to know Jesus. And if you don't, I encourage you today to think about that, because we never know. Faith in Christ settles our destiny so we can live here on earth for Jesus. To go with confidence in this world to the next, as the old song says, I'm only passing through. We get ready to go knowing that we plan and prepare our lives here in light of our ultimate destination, our thoughts directed to heaven. And finally, getting ready to go includes distilling our lives down to grace. Distilling our lives down to grace. I love the fact that Paul concludes with these short little words, the last written words we have of Paul, verse 22. Grace be with you. John Stott said, grace is the word in which all of Paul's theology is distilled. Paul expects to see Timothy again. The plans will unfold. But if they don't, I picture Paul, if he could, putting his arms on the shoulders of Timothy, looking him in the eye and maybe with tears saying, Timothy, I want to leave you with one last thought. One thing you got to remember. Grace to you. God's unmerited favor on our lives, that someday we will know that we will have lived in the grace of our God and be with our gracious God. Listen carefully, beloved. As you and I get remembered, as we get ready to go, when God's appointed time comes, we don't know when that'll be. Remember, grace saved you. Remember, grace keeps you. Remember, grace prepares you to go be with Jesus. And remember, like Paul, that we leave those we leave behind in God's grace as well. It all comes back around to grace. Finishing strong and following Jesus to the end, it means getting ready to go. Since January 1st this year, in just 7 months, I've had the honor of conducting funerals for 8 people connected to our dear church family. Pastor Mike did 1, so that means 9. And this Tuesday for Frank Strandt, we'll have the 10th. That's a lot of funerals for our dear church family in 7 months. The ages of those who've gone to be with Jesus range from 101 years old down to a little girl 9 years old, God bless her. For some, the end was known for quite a while. For others, the end came suddenly. Which makes this message so important to hear. Beloved, we never know when and how God will call us home. We don't. What we do know, young and old and everybody in between, our journey with Jesus, our finishing strong on earth, is finite. So learn today from God's word, Paul's last. Be packed. Be ready to go every day. Deal with those relationships that are broken. Don't wait. Determine to live till the end. Depend on the Lord. Direct your thoughts to heaven. And always distill your life down to what really matters. Grace to you. Grace to me. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that in all stages of life, you never leave us alone without your word to remind us of truth. And Father, we don't know the journey ahead, the future for our lives. There is an appointed time, your word says, for everyone to go. We don't know. So, Lord, it's so important every day to be ready to be with Jesus. And I pray today, God, that we would be reminded of the fact that the only way to be ready truly is Jesus and having faith in Christ. Lord, encourage us today as we move into communion and remember our Jesus, that that's the hope beyond death, that that's the hope that gives us life and light. God, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.